Big load of messages piled up, Colonel, O'Banion said, including a top priority from Washington, General Scheib. Give me that one first. Some stranger's voice, a woman, asked, Colonel Christopher?
Right.
General Scheib, I have Colonel Christopher for you.
Karen, Brad's voice.
General, she replied. In his darkened den, Brad Scheib heard the stiffness in Karen's voice. She's not alone, he understood. She's in the cockpit of that plane with the rest of the goddamn crew tapped in.
Are you all right? He asked.
We're approaching Misawa, Karen's voice sounded cool, totally under control. One engine out, wing damaged, but we're maintaining altitude and airspeed.
You'll make it to Misawa? Met reports there's a storm over the area.
A hesitation, then she answered, We'll make it, General.
Good.
Silence except for hissing static. What can I say? Scheib asked himself. What can I tell her with the rest of the crew listening in? Even if she tells them to stay off the line, there's no guarantee that they won't eavesdrop. Hell, half the Pentagon could be listening to us, and it'll all get recorded, too.
I'm glad you're okay.
Again, a long silence. She's thinking of what she can say, what she should say, Scheib told himself. Hell of a way for us to talk. For all I know, this is the last time we'll ever talk to each other. Hell of a way for it all to end. At last, Karen's voice said tightly,
I'm fine, General.
That's good, he said, feeling inane. Suddenly, he couldn't control himself any longer. He blurted, Karen, I'm sorry it had to end this way.
I am too.
If things had been different, Brad, it's over and done with. You made that perfectly clear.
Feeling utterly miserable, Scheib said, I wish it could be different.
But it's not, General. It couldn't have ended any other way.
He nodded in the darkness of his room. She's right, he knew. It couldn't have ended any other way. In the cockpit of Able One, Karen Christopher heard the sorrow in Brad's voice, and she realized that he felt sorry for himself, not for her, not for the mess she'd made of her career, for himself. And she understood. He'll never have the strength to leave his wife. His career is more important to him than I ever was. I made him happy for a while, but that's all over now. It was doomed from the start.
You still there? He sounded like a lost little boy.
When she tried to nod, the damned helmet wobbled on her head. I've got to sign off now, General. The weather's closing in.
Silence for several heartbeats.
Then, goodbye, Karen.
Goodbye, General.
And the connection went dead. Karen looked over at Kaufman, who was studiously staring straight ahead. Looking out, she saw that the weather was indeed closing in.
Colonel, Sharman's voice.
Go ahead, John.
ETA to Misawa, 1 hour 17 minutes.
Better get their weather report. Looks like we'll be in for a shaggy ride.
Washington, D.C. New Jersey Avenue, Southeast. The Bakersfield residence was not pretentious, except for the wrought iron fence that surrounded the lot and the armored Humvee parked in the driveway, occupied by at least 3 heavily armed Secret Service guards at all times. The Secretary of Defense was in bed, his fleshy face ashen, his corpulent body soaked with perspiration. His physician, a close friend since Lionel Bakersfield had first arrived in the Capitol as a newly elected senator, stood over him with a severe expression on his lean, nearly gaunt face.